Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Elijah thought he was the last one left that worshiped the true God. In fact, that's why he's out there. Now, God will encourage him to eat a snack and take a nap and see how it looks after that. And if you have small children, that is often the question, is it not? Have you napped today? No? I think maybe you should. Elijah needed to be reminded that he was not alone in his venture as a Christian. That is, as a man who worshiped the true God, who believed in the coming Messiah, who believed that promise given to Adam and Eve in the garden, that believed that God would send salvation from sin, from death, and from the devil. But the devil would have you believe that you also are the only one left that believes in what the Scripture teaches. That you are not a loving Christian. That you are just a hypocrite. That you don't belong to Jesus. The devil is the one who tries to convince you of this. The devil tries to convince you that there's no one who believes what you believe and that you are wrong. The devil rages, but he is conquered. Jesus is king. He is king over all of creation. He causes the fish to swarm because he is the very word that set the seas in their places. He is the very word by which the Father created the fish to begin with. And so when those fishermen were out all night and yet caught nothing, at the word of Jesus, they put back out. And at his word, so many fish swarm that two boats begin to sink with the catch. Peter has the right response. He falls down on his knees and he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. I am not worthy to have you come into my boat. I am not worthy to have you anywhere near me because I am a sinner." And yet Jesus loves Simon Peter as he loves you. He has come to cast Peter's sins upon himself. He has come to put my sins and your sins upon himself. And he gives them great news. From now on, you're going to be catching men. You're going to be casting the net that I give you, and my word will do what I set it out to do. And so how does our gospel lesson begin or end? So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. What a bold statement that would make. A bold statement to say, we have just caught the most fish we have ever caught in our life. This is our livelihood, but we're going to leave that behind to follow this man who can forgive sins. This man who is the Messiah. This man who is the one that we have been waiting for. Great men and women of years gone by came to this land to worship the one true God. Facing religious persecution from other Christians, they came here to worship the triune God in truth. The history of England and the bloodiness that is shed, the blood that is shed, the constant war and bickering and slaughter over two Christian groups is terribly tragic. The fact that Christians spent more time killing each other rather than recognizing that the enemy is at the gates is tragic. And yet to extend Christendom Columbus comes to this great land. Yes, much farther south than Wisconsin. But he comes. He comes to the Americas, and he shows that there is another way. When the Muslims are at your gate, when the Muslims are threatening, when the Muslims have just conquered one of the biggest strongholds of Christendom in Constantinople, you find another way, and God leads you to it. And then when tyranny strikes, when the men who lead the government, who are called by God to bear the sword, to punish evil, and to uphold good, when it becomes tyrannical, the founding fathers viewed it as their duty to create something new. But that creation of something new was really a recreation of something very old. An understanding that these are freedoms granted to us not by the government, but by God Himself. That God desires His people, who are called by His name, to worship Him without fear of being put to death for it. To pursue life, that first unalienable gift. To pursue it. Liberty. Not to harm others, but to live freely in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness should not overshadow the joy that is found in Jesus the Christ. To pursue happiness is not to say, I'm going to do whatever gratifies my flesh, because that happiness will fade very quickly. That hole that you try to fill needs to be filled by something much bigger and stronger. It needs Jesus. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. This community, this country, this world needs Jesus. And so they set out with that in mind. I want to read to you today some of the final words of that Declaration of Independence. For the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Those are the last words that appear before that signing off and the signatures. They understand that it is only by the hand of divine providence that this nation will succeed. That this nation that has been so richly blessed by nature and nature's God can only succeed by divine providence. And that when she gets too tyrannical, when she gets to a point where she is no longer recognizing the good of those that she has been called to serve, they need to bow down once again to the true King. That King is Jesus. Our communities, our state, our counties, our nation, and our world need to return to that motion. To bow down, to bend the knee to King Jesus. That is the only way forward. Yesterday, as our nation celebrated the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, this wonderful family of congregation had a float that gave honor to God first, and then the nation that He has so richly provided. I had the privilege to march with that float by carrying the cross of Jesus before us. And while doing that, I prayed. I prayed that the Lord would cause our community to repent for her errors, our community to repent for its gossip, its hatred towards one another. I asked that God would cause our nation to repent. I prayed the Psalms. Prayed the Our Father, and I sang, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. And as that cross of Jesus Christ went before, I heard at least a few children in that crowd point to that cross and say, "There's Jesus." Now, that cross, of course, is not really Jesus, but it shows us who he is. It shows us what he did for us. To look at the lifeless body of my God and recognize that he did that all for me and for you. This community needs more Jesus. This nation needs more Jesus. And that's what he has called you, dear Christians, to show them. Show them Jesus. Our goal is not to fight and bicker with fellow Christians, that is, those who are actually following what the Bible teaches. Our goal is to glorify God and to love one another. St. Peter gives us this: be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. I never had a brother, but I do have two sons. And I'm not sure he exactly meant what two brothers do to each other when they're young. But that love of relying upon one another, that love and that joy of having a built-in playmate, a built-in confidant, a built-in person who is actually supposed to be there to help carry you through the hard times. Your brothers and your sisters in Christ right here, not by your blood, the blood flowing through your veins, but by the blood that flowed through his, that washed over us, that washed and declared Lillian his very own today. The blood of the Lamb adopts us, grafts us into his family. We need baptism because we're sinners. If ever you doubt that a child before the age of reason is a sinner, just check how selfish they are. They want what they want now. And if you give them the food because they claim that they're starving, and you didn't cut it exactly the way they wanted it cut that day, even though you cut it the same way that you always cut it, you will see that they are sinners. But so are we. We want what we want, when we want it, how we want it. And we need to submit that to the Lord. Baptism helps us to do that, because baptism is the rebirth that God commands. Peter writes, baptism, which corresponds to that flood, now saves you. Peter proclaims in the book of Acts that this promise of baptism, of faith, is for you and your children, for those who are far off. And as Jesus commanded, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And he gave his promise, lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. We as Christians need to resubmit to what God teaches in his word. We hold this truth to be self-evident according to the calling of the Holy Spirit. This is the truth that permeates that declaration, that permeates the Constitution, that permeated this nation as an extension of Christendom for hundreds of years, until the devil convinced us otherwise. 250 is actually quite a short amount of time when you give consideration to how long the empires within Europe have been there, when you give consideration to how long the Roman Empire was there, even after her baptism, the Holy Roman Empire under Charlemagne, all of these things did go for much longer. But it's always the year when it can all end. It's always the day when it could all end because we refuse to acknowledge the truth. the blessings that we have, the home that you live in, the freedom that you had to come and worship today. There are Christians throughout this world, especially in Muslim countries, that do not have that same privilege. Their houses are burned. Their churches are burned. Their lives are forfeit for doing simply what you have done today. And too often we forget about that because it's in some faraway land that we don't really see, and we know that the media that we turn on doesn't really report about it. But they are killed for simply being who you are, but because they're in a different place. The more of the worship of false gods that we allow to permeate in this country, the more we allow that to swarm, the more we allow our own children and grandchildren to walk away from this truth into the lies of the devil, God should cause it to end. And so we pray. We, like Elijah, are told by God that you are not the only one left, that there are still thousands that are called according to my name that have not bowed the knee to Baal, to Muhammad, to the lies of the devil. Dear Christians, unite. Unite around the word of God. Let that go forth. Do not return evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, from his lips from speaking deceit. The words spoken from this pulpit for generations have been the words of truth because they are the words from this book. And I know that that's not true of every pulpit. I know that's not true of every preacher, especially the ones that get on that TV and tell you to give more money to them. A preacher's lips, a preacher's tongue, are called by God to speak the truth. And the truth is that we have all fallen short. We have all sinned, every one of us. And our only hope is Jesus. Jesus has been our hope. He is our hope. He will continue to be our hope until we no longer have to hope, until we no longer have to believe. That is the day of his return, when the hope is fulfilled and we will see it with our very eyes. Turn away from evil. Do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That hand of divine providence caused pain to those who did evil, caused death, caused disease, with the goal of returning his people to himself. May we as a community, may we as a nation not wait until some major calamity has to happen for our nation to respond once again like she did on 9/12. May we do it now. May we do it freely. And may we rejoice that God is still our God, that Jesus is reigning in his heavens, and that the Holy Spirit has worked faith in our hearts to bring us to church, to remember our baptism, to receive the very body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ because he has commanded it, and for the forgiveness of sins. Do not worry about what the world can do to you. Focus on the cross of Jesus. The church sings, "What is the world to me? My Jesus is my treasure. My life, my health, my wealth, my friend, my love, my pleasure. My joy, my crown, my all, my bliss eternally, once more then I declare, what is the world to me? Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.